From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson.
I'm Barbara Jean Johnson.
And I'm Kara Thomas. And here are some of the stories we're following this week. People along the North Shore on Tuesday found themselves reverting to a pre-internet and telephone world after a damaged fiber optic line in Duluth shut down communications. Internet service, along with cell and landline phone communications, was disrupted just before 11 a.m. when a steam pipe in a manhole burst, said Quest Communications spokeswoman Joanna Helmeland. A steam pipe burst and the hot steam hit one of our fiber optic lines and melted it, she said, acknowledging that the mishap interrupted service from Two Harbors all the way to Grand Portage. A crew working to repair the line Tuesday night also knocked out services to portions of Duluth. Emergency dispatchers up the shore scrambled to reroute 911 service through St. Louis County. Lake County deployed staff members at fire and ambulance stations in case anyone came by with an emergency. They also answered alternate 911 phone lines. In more remote Finland, ham radio operators made contact with a dispatch center in Two Harbors. In Cook County, first responders staffed fire halls and relayed emergency messages by radio. WTIP broadcast emergency numbers and updated information throughout the day and into the evening. Service was restored at 9:53 p.m., according to the Cook County Sheriff's Department.
Recent changes in the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency rules have been put to a halt to Cook County's efforts to revise the septic system ordinance. The process may be on hold, but lakeshore septic inspections will continue, according to Planning Director Tim Nelson. Nelson said that the Lakeshore Inspection Program started in 2001, and system inspections around seven lakes have already been accomplished. Nelson added that the inspection program, aided by a Clean Water Grant, is ahead of schedule. He said the original projection was for five lakes in 10 years. Nelson said an inspection consists of first pumping the tank and checking for leaks. If no leaks are detected, the second step is to bore holes in the soil around the drain field perimeter. Soil needs to be unsaturated to a depth of 3 feet. System failure rates average around 30%, according to Nelson. The lakes where inspections have taken place so far include Pike, Devil Track, Caribou, Poplar, Gunflint, Saginaw, and Seagull. The county has also participated in Lake Superior property inspections in the Tofte-Schroeder Sanitary Sewer District.
In addition to national and state offices, there are several county and school board positions up for election this year. Three county commissioner posts will be voted on, districts 1, 3, and 5. These seats are currently held by Commissioners Jan Hall, Bob Fenwick, and Bruce Martinson, respectively. Other offices up for election include county attorney, currently held by Tim Scannell, auditor-treasurer, currently Brady Powers, county recorder, currently Dusty Nelms, and sheriff, currently Mark Falk. Three ISD 166 school board positions are also up for election, seats currently held by Eric Kemp, Mary Sanders, and Bill Huggins. As of yet, no incumbents or challengers have declared their candidacy.
Cook County commissioners are sending a support letter to the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. The letter is part of the public comment period for an environmental impact study, or EIS, on the PolyMet proposed non-iron mining project near Hoyt Lakes. Commissioners could have urged the DNR to continue moving forward in order that the PolyMet project becomes a reality, as their letter was originally worded, but instead the board went on record supporting the environmental study as the proper tool for mitigation on the project. Commissioners acknowledged the economic and social values of a revived mining industry in the Northeast, but were cautious about endorsing a project they believe has limited impact on the county and may result in decisions they couldn't agree with. Commissioner Bob Fenwick said he felt the environmental study is the best way to ensure adequate standards are in place before PolyMet begins mining for copper, platinum, and other non-ferrous metals. Commissioner Jim Johnson said that if the county supports the economic benefits of this kind of mining, they must also support a detailed study of the environmental consequences.
February 2nd is the day for political caucuses. Democrats will caucus at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts, and Republicans will caucus at the Community Center. Both events will begin at 7 p.m. and will be followed immediately by county conventions. The Green Party will caucus at 6:30 p.m. at the Two Harbors Library, and the Constitution Party will also caucus in Two Harbors at the Blackwoods Bar and Grill. The Independence Party will hold an online caucus at 9 p.m., and the Libertarians will not caucus prior to their April 24th state convention.
The Grand Marais city councilors could hit you with a packed snowball for not clearing your sidewalks, but they won't. There are penalties in city snow removal ordinances for not clearing snow from sidewalks within 24 hours. The ordinances have rarely, if ever, been enforced, and that could pose a liability problem, according to the city's legal counsel. At Wednesday's meeting, council members decided to take a gentler approach by sending a letter to downtown businesses. The letter will remind business owners that while city crews do some sidewalk snow removal, they're not mandated to, and the responsibility for maintaining safe walkways remains with the business. Councillor Jan Sievertson is a downtown business owner, and she said the reminder was a good idea.
I was always grateful that the city did clean up the sidewalk.
Right.
I never assumed it was the city's responsibility, but because they did it, I thought, well, maybe it's their responsibility. So I think I, you know, as a downtown business person, I need to be reminded that it is my responsibility. You know, we do it because we want our customers to get in the door without falling. More communication rather than less is always a good idea.
According to the city's street supervisor, Lenny Bloomquist, snow removal crews are downtown by 3 a.m. if about 3 inches of snow has fallen. The downtown sidewalks are cleared by a bobcat into the streets where it's plowed and collected in stockpiling areas. All this before most people come downtown. Maneuverability of the equipment can be an issue on some sidewalks. Bloomquist said they didn't want to hit buildings or light poles. Also, clearing by bobcat is not as thorough as shoveling or blowing, either of which would prove too costly in manpower. Sidewalk snow removal reminder letters should start showing up in business mailboxes early next month.
At a special meeting on Tuesday, January 26th, the EDA Board of Directors met to discuss the budget and the current shortage of funds dogging the organization. Director Matt Gerritschlager.
I guess the question to the board is, we have more invoices than we have funds, and we're going to have that for quite some time. So I guess the question is, do you want to continue on with what we're doing? And it seems awfully difficult to do that.
A revised EDA budget for 2010 projects an operating deficit of more than $42,000. Current outstanding bills payable total about $41,000. No substantial income can be expected until the EDA receives half its annual levy from the county in June of this year. EDA board member Don Davison.
We have no independent way of raising any money whatsoever. I mean, we are an agency of the city and the county, and we're dependent on them. And I can't imagine them letting their planning and zoning board or a particular office or a highway department say go off on your own and worry about how you're going to pay your bills next month. I think we have to go back to them and say it's nothing we did. Virtually all of the deficit we're talking about is due to MPCA action on the project up here. That, if it weren't for that, we would not have a cash flow problem. And I think we should go back to the city and the county and say, we need additional funding to put a Band-Aid on this and make it go away.
During construction of Cedar Grove Business Park, repeated citations for stormwater runoff violations went unaddressed. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency stepped in and is fining the EDA and its contractor $277,000. The EDA is contesting the fines and has racked up nearly $50,000 in legal fees. The issue has yet to be resolved, and whether or not the EDA will be held liable for the fines or recover any legal fees remains to be seen. The EDA board was unable to come up with any solutions during the meeting, and in the end decided to form a committee with representatives from the Cook County Board of Commissioners, the Grand Marais City Council, and the EDA to try to come up with a plan to address the immediate cash flow shortage as well as the EDA's looming budget deficit. EDA Board Chair Mike Litfin.
There are multiple parties here at stake and at risk. I will be honest, I don't have a solution. I don't know what the best way to resolve this is, other than I know that everybody's going to have to come to the table and work something out or if we can't come to some sort of agreement for a funding standpoint, like Matt says, we need to either close the doors and spread it out to the parties that be, and I'm not sure anybody really wants that. So there has to be some sort of a, you know, resolution with everybody involved.
The new committee plans to set a meeting date in the next week and a half, but no details are available at this time. The fate of the EDA will rest with this committee. For WTIP News, I'm Kara Thomas.
I'm Barbara Jean Johnson.
And I'm Jay Anderson.